Clear for departure.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rob's update from 7:30 p.m. this evening. Tropical storm Faye continues to surprise with every move. The storm did not weaken over land as anticipated, and in fact, it actually strengthened today while tracking over South Florida. Faye currently has maximum sustained winds of 65 miles per hour. Given that Faye looks so well defined on radar and satellite, it seems pretty likely that it will become a hurricane when it emerges into the Atlantic east of Florida late tonight. The ship's model brings Faye up to a Category 1 hurricane. The GFDL and HWRF models forecast Faye to max out a Category 2 strength, so it is not out of the question for Faye to be a strong Cat 1 or borderline Cat 2 hurricane upon landfall Thursday afternoon over northeastern Florida. Faye is currently tracking north-northeastward at a forward speed of 7 miles per hour. Currently, Faye is embedded within a weak southerly flow between mid-level trough of low pressure and a ridge of high pressure. However, this steering pattern is forecast to change as soon as the high pressure system begins to build north of Faye. This new steering pattern will force Faye to move towards the west-northwest towards the coast of North Florida and South Georgia and come ashore in northeast Florida on Thursday afternoon. After that, it should be noted the GFS and European models forecast Faye to track into the northern Gulf of Mexico by early this weekend and possibly make a third landfall somewhere on the northern Gulf Coast late Sunday or early Monday. Due to the hurricane landfall and likelihood that Faye will be a hurricane upon landfall, hurricane watches have been issued by the National Hurricane Center for northeastern Florida and southern Georgia. Stay tuned for local information on Faye. Refer to the Tropical Storm Faye page. You can find that at Crown Weather Services, and the actual link for that, www.crownweather.com/tropical. We have the latest update from the National Hurricane Center. Storm update for Tropical Storm Faye is currently moving at, currently with the well, it's doing something, but the page has crashed. Let's try this one more time. 59.8 miles per hour are the winds, 27.5 north, 80.9 west. That is the latest information from the National Hurricane Center. Joining me now, one Renegade Evolution. Ren, we have lots going on tonight. Any thoughts on a hurricane strike your way?
Well, I just got to say that, you know, I just got back from Florida. I was down there for about 18 days. It sounds like I got out of Dodge in the right time, huh?
You did, but you didn't. Yeah, I was thinking if you were still there, you could be like, you know, the Jim Cantore of XVN.
That's true. And it's weird. I lived down there for many, many, many moons and never actually went through. I mean, there were hurricanes, but never bad ones when I was there. I always seemed to be someplace else at the time of the storm. So blizzards I've done, but you know, no hurricanes yet.
You know, I'd almost feel guilty putting you, you know, at a storm chaser. You know, despite your reputation, you're like this tiny petite person, and I would hate to see you like blow into the Atlantic and
yeah, that's true. I would.
Yeah, and my storm chaser.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I don't see that in my future. I don't see myself chasing hurricanes or tornadoes or any other such sort of thing. I'm more of a hide inside and ride out the weather kind of gal.
Now, do you control hurricanes or anything like that? I mean, you're accused of everything else.
It's true, but no, I do not have powers of weather control, although that would be really, really cool.
Maybe
in my next life I can be like Storm from the X-Men or something, who knows?
Now, is there any chance that you could unleash a storm on, say, Genderburg or you know, I mean, they're always looking for conspiracies, so...
You know, I don't... It's kind of, I don't know. I just... the whole, I don't know, Genderburg, it's... I don't know. It's their little fort in the woods, and I guess they're entitled to it. I mean,
it sounds a little bit
like the Waco compound sometimes, but yeah.
All right, tonight's topic, we have Ms. Renegade Evolution with us, and you can join in 646-200-3136. We're looking at a troubling trend. Those claiming to fight oppression. One Kyle Payne, the anti-porn activist that pled guilty to sexual offenses in Iowa that related to a female student. Maggie Hayes, owner of the blog Against Pornography, which presents women as victims and members of a resistance movement to the massive conquest of our culture to what she terms the pornyarchy, which I had to practice saying that. And we did a show on that up the hill with Zach and Jill, and Zach had some trouble understanding the whole concept, much less pornyarchy, but we also are talking about Gail Dines, the anti-porn activist, who presents an anti-porn slideshow depicting graphic images, ones that do not have the consent of those depicted. She presumes to speak, but actually insults the women of the industry. Are they fighting oppression? Renegade Evolution is going to talk to us about that. So what are your thoughts on all this, Ren?
Well, first of all, I have an update on Mr. Payne for you. His sentencing has been delayed for him to undergo some, you know, counseling or what have you. Right now, people are asking folks to write into the judge and say, you know, not to give this guy a walk in the park sentence for his actions. And I know I've mailed a letter, and a couple other people have mailed a letter, but they haven't received too many. Or you can fax one in, and if you don't mind, I'm going to throw out the fax number here for the courthouse in Buena Vista. Okay, it is 712-732-3397. And we're encouraging everyone to fax in a note of concern in support of the victim. In this case, because, Kyle Payne does not deserve to get a little walk in the park.
You know, and I was looking at Kyle Payne's website, and, you know, he's got this whole confession of sorts. But it reads, you know, it reads like a... prefabricated confession, and then at the bottom it kind of is really jaw-dropping. It asks women to write to him. You know, the part of the blog where you can comment is shut down. I actually wrote to Kyle and surprisingly got a very brief response to him telling me that he would respond more, and I told him that wasn't really the idea. I suggested to him that if he wanted to face his responsibilities and face his actions, that perhaps he would just, take this like an adult and open the blog up to comments and let people that are harmed in whatever way by his actions comment as they need to, and to not make excuses and to not do any bullshit. And beyond that, to stay away from the
stay away from women, period.
And especially for him to stay away from, the sexual assault victim movement,
Indeed. Exactly. I mean, I saw his apology as well, and it was, oh, poor me, oh, poor Kyle, oh, pity me, and, kind of half-assed apology to the woman he assaulted, but it was really, oh, my life is ruined, poor me, and it's kind of like, you haven't even owned up and taken responsibility for what you've done. And then, he talks about how he's, being slandered all over, the internet. And it's all this gigantic little pity party. And the thing that made me insane was I was not one of them. I think in his little note, he talks about, a pornographer who's slandering him. I'm assuming that's me.
I wonder if that was you.
I'm pretty sure that's me. But a bunch of these other women who are well-known as well-established feminists, some of the bigger, all kinds of feminist bloggers, actually, who joined in on the, calling out Kyle Payne thing, he wrote them all emails and announced that he would be, releasing his statement on his blog. And I was just, my jaw sort of hit the floor because, a lot of these women are survivors of some sort or another. And the last thing that they want sitting in their email box is a letter from someone who assaulted a woman, announcing his grand statement. And I just thought, the hubris that it takes to do that. I mean, Kyle is obviously incredibly arrogant, and everything is all about Kyle. For him to think that he has a right to send emails to these women who have called him out, saying, "Oh, I'm making this formal statement. You should come read it." I mean, what planet are you from that you think this is a good idea, or that it won't offend or trigger or upset these women? I didn't get one, but I know plenty of people who did.
Yeah, I didn't get one either, and I gave Kyle, an open invitation to speak on XBN, that he could issue his statement of sorts on the radio. I did not get a return response, but Kyle, if you're listening, you certainly are more than welcome to call in, and you can statement anything you want to at 646-200-3136. I personally would probably fall out of my chair in shock.
Me too. I would actually be amazed that if his attorney at this point would allow him to do that. Well, I mean, he could do whatever he wants, but I'm sure his attorney probably said, not a good idea, shut up, kind of thing. If I was a lawyer, I'd be telling him to shut up.
If I was a lawyer, I'd be telling him to remove the blog, especially the part where he's still advertising himself, as a rape crisis counselor. And
Exactly. Because if I was a prosecutor, I would have, that stuff would be saved and thrown into court. But I'm not either of those things, so.
In my letter to him, I said to him that, perhaps, if he faces up to this and he deals with it straight on, maybe he can find some redemption. But if he wants to continue to be an activist, maybe he needs to work with dogs, or he needs to,
train dogs for the blind or something. If you want to help, you can still help people, but you shouldn't be helping people in a sexually related crisis situation at all.
Maybe he could go to Fort Benning and do something important and break onto the School of the Americas or.
Absolutely. I mean, there are plenty of things that he could do if he still wants to be an activist, but this is not the field that he should be endeavoring to be in, or trying to get his, oh-so-precious creds back from feminists or women or anyone at this point. I mean, I just think that the brass set on this guy is pretty amazing.
You know,
and I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah, that caught my attention too. That there was something. I don't have his website pulled up in front of me at the moment, but there was something to the effect of he's waiting for his radical feminist colleagues to welcome him back.
Into the fold. And you know what? As much as I do not generally get along with a whole lot of radical feminists, I don't see that. I think that, you know, I have a better chance of being welcomed into the radical feminist fold than I think of him being welcomed back into it. I don't think that these radical feminist ladies or women or whatever are going to give him the time of day. And you know what? I that's awesome. I don't have a lot of nice things to say about a lot of radical feminists a lot of the time, but the fact that they are just kind of like, no, go ahead and swing there, Kyle. I'm very impressed with that, and I'm glad that they are not, you know. You know, they're sticking to their guns here and saying, sorry, you screwed up, you're done. So I'm glad about that.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you that he has, like, zero chance of being accepted back into the fold, you know. Just thinking about it, I've lost my train of thought. I had a point, now I've lost it, but For a movement that essentially can't find space to accept someone transgendered, accepting a convicted, self-admitted sexual predator, Kyle, you might want to apply to be a cocktail waitress at Caesars in Vegas. You probably have a better shot at that.
Exactly, indeed. It's about the same chances of, you know, the Stanley Cup being held in hell. So yeah, he just needs to find something else to do with, you know, all of his apparent good intentions or whatever, you know, add sarcasm to taste on that comment. But you know what, it's like we've had the show about him last time that you and I did a show together, and it was, there's no way you can trust this guy at this point, period. I mean, he's proven himself to be arrogant, and he's proven himself to be extremely untrustworthy. And very, you know, abused a position of authority. And, you know, I feel bad in a way, and not for him at all, but for guys who are feminist allies or allies to women, and, you know, for the movement that he was involved in general. I mean, this is a huge kick to all of those people that one of their own would go and do something like that.
You know, it truly is, and as much animosity as I feel myself towards that movement at times, there is no doubt that I absolutely despise what he did, and that I think for the most part it is offbeat as many of them can be. I think that they're trying, at least by they're trying to do something positive.
Right.
Even if it's, you know, something that I strongly disagree with, something you probably strongly disagree with, but, you know, Kyle just was a flat-out predator, and he can make reasons for why he did what he did all he wants. And if I was a member of that movement, I would be absolutely livid with him, especially what he's done since.
Right. Well, and I think people are. I mean, I have not kept up on the Kyle Payne thing as quite as vigorously as I was there initially, partially because I don't have quite the time, and I have some other big things going on, but I've definitely tried to keep people posted on it and update on it. But I know that there's a couple other blogs, The Curvature and Ellen's Trousers, are still all over it. So, I mean, the information is still out there. He's still being, you know, it's still a hot topic. I'm fairly certain if you Googled his name, you're going to find, you know, women and feminist bloggers are going to be right up there at the top. So it's still, you know, he's still on the blacklist, and people will know it. And I think that's good. And it's just, he needs to find something else to do with his time. If he wants to help people, he needs to figure out another way to do it. And I hope that message sticks around loud and clear, you know?
So, Ren, changing topics, what are your thoughts on pornarchy?
First of all, it's really hard to say. You need almost like a linguistics class to get the word right. I mean, I thought pornoarchy sounded better. You drop the I. But, you know, she's done some big, long explanation of why it's with the I, and I guess it's because it's a combination of pornography and patriarchy, but does not roll from the tongue very well. And I also find it interesting that, according to Ms. Hayes, pretty much every evil in the world today can be blamed on porn.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the definition of pornarchy, and it's a patriarchal society invaded and controlled by pornography and a culture that is pornified, as well as society upheld by men's cruel needs for sexual subordination. You can click a link, and that will give you this huge page of definitions of what pornography really is, according to Maggie Hayes. Pornified culture is a culture which has been invaded by the mainstreaming of pornography. And there's so many things that it's all kind of astonishing. One of them it states, I blame the pornarchy for the usual censoring and demonization of radical feminists in the mainstream media. They're claiming censorship, but then you look at their blog and it's a closed blog.
Exactly. Well, it's funny. I mean, I read her whole piece there, and it's something we have in common. We both tend to write epics. It's a very long, it's a very long post, and I did my thing and fisted it, and it's one of those things where. There is all these complaints about how the radical feminists are censored, and something that, I kind of made a point to point out when I was discussing, because she won't engage me any more than she absolutely positively has to. So I made a point to say that, if you watch television, it's about an even split, really, on television in general. But none of us censor them on our blogs. They are not censored on, they could write on AVN or any of the other porn sites that they want to, media news sites that they want. Last time I checked, places like, WeLock are not knocking down any of our doors to let us host, forums and teach classes for credit or, make big bucks by doing so. There's not too many. I mean, most of the people that I know that are sex workers that have published their own books have done it through self-publishing. We're not getting the big deals and the big academic airtime and things like that. I mean, yes, I mean, I've spoken at a college, you've spoken at a few or whatever, but we don't have our own, stop porn culture training programs, and we're not on 2020 and Dateline or any of those other shows. Although I was pleased to see her on Penn & Teller's BS. That was a thing of beauty. Maggie wasn't on there, but Dines was. But it was a riot. The whole idea that they don't get a chance to speak is insane. And of course, I specifically, which we'll get there later with Dines and Stop Porn Culture, have been told, I'm censoring radical feminists. The truth is, I've never told a radical feminist that they should not speak or should not write what they want to write. They have as much right to say and write whatever they want as anybody else, and, I will even defend that right. The idea that they're being censored just sort of blows my mind when, the internet and blogs are a small example, but they're not the ones that are banned, deleted, and not allowed to comment.
Well, and I tried to address a couple of points, which... of course, got no response, and it was not posted. But I had my own difficulties at the time in the sex industry, and why don't my experiences count? And two, I don't even moderate my blog. Anybody can post anything they want to, and how can you claim censorship when you can walk over and make a post?
Exactly. Well, and I know that it's, I mean, she did a second part to that where it was like, oh, you know, we care about the women, we care about the victims, we care about the people in the sex industry. But the fact that because you don't agree with her politically, yet even when you addressed her, you spoke that, you know, you had been, you know, had some, you know, really nasty stuff happen to you while you were in the business. To me, it comes across as, well, you know, because you sing the wrong tune, your pain doesn't matter. And you are, I'm not going to mention any of their names, but you're not the first person that that has occurred with, where somebody's been like, you know, I'm not anti-porn, but this has happened to me. Why don't my words matter? And she just doesn't publish them.
Now, Ren, what's going on your blog? I mean, there's like an explosion, you know, on your blog, and one of the last things that I saw was within the last couple hours was somebody saying how it was next to impossible for them to post there because or to post.
Oh, you mean on my transgender thread?
Yes.
Yes. Well, what happened was apparently on the F Word, which is a very big UK, United Kingdom feminist blog, there was a gigantic blowout between a couple radical feminists and some trans women. And it's kind of no secret that I'm much friendlier with and more allied with the trans women than I am with particular radical feminists. I've actually met some radical feminists here lately that are very cool. But anyway, there was a big blowout on, you know, you're not really women and you shouldn't be allowed access to, you know, services for women, and some, you know, pretty kind of ugly things were said. And so there was discussion on it on my blog, which I think literally the only person in that thread for the most part that I think is, you know, 100% straight or whatever is me. And so there, an anonymous commenter showed up and just really started being quite nasty to, you know, the trans women who were commenting there and, you know, bringing up stuff that supposedly happened at Mitchfest. But this other person showed up, and let me find it real quick. It's buried amid all the Olympic coverage. Sorry.
There is an extensive amount of Olympic coverage.
I'm a huge sports fan. I can't help it. But hang on,
maybe I should have you do live Olympic updates for XBN. You could be our exclusive Olympic coverage.
Oh, except that I'm biased. I mean, I have athletes that I really like and ones that I don't. So, I'm afraid that I wouldn't be able to give impartial coverage of the games. Okay, here we go. I found it. Let me find this comment. I think it's hysterical.
Well, I know I see one myself that caught my attention. It's no wonder people comment here anonymously when they're outright attacked by trans women, an obnoxious, self-appointed keeper of all things hip and lesbian, and a surgically constructed male-identified sadistic pornography. People are supposed to understand your experiences when you're unable to do the same.
Yes, and I love the name, too. Isn't it Born XX?
Ah, you know, I didn't catch that.
I thought it was Bronx X, but then I looked at it and I was like,
yeah,
nope, this is, yeah. It's like the Bourne Identity, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, at that point, I mean, comments like that, I'm just sort of like, you know, flick at this point. I can't even take them seriously anymore. I would, you know, the trans women that are commenting on that thread or that comment on my blog, they're just, you know, in my opinion, infinitely better human beings than a lot of these other folks. So, you know, naturally, I'm going to be more empathetic and more allied with them. I mean, they have the ability to, you know, I think a lot of times it's what you present with them as opposed to, you know, it's not all about what equipment you were born with. So I don't understand a whole lot of that. I don't understand the animosity towards transgender people. I just don't.
I don't understand. It's not an issue I'm strong on, but I fail to understand the whole concept of it. I mean, in Chicago, you know, I got a brief glimpse, as I did in San Francisco, at Desiree Alliance,
mm-hmm.
and in Vegas, and it seemed to me that if anybody was dealing with oppression issues, it was trans, and that, you know, as you
those
of us
who
are not trans, you know, I mean, we seem to have more privilege than trans. I can't understand how anyone could see it that way.
Exactly. I agree completely. I think that as far as, you know, marginalized sectors go, trans people are right up there. And it's, you know, it comes down to me, I think, that some people, it's like no one else is allowed to have any more pain in the world than they are. You know, it's all about them and their agony and how bad they have it, and everybody else's strife just doesn't matter. It's like they want to have a monopoly on all the agony in the world.
Well, you know, I kind of did an assessment, and it seems to me that you've kind of been declared that, you know, the pornyarchy conqueror, and pornyarchy has done what no other evil doer has done in history, not Osama, not Hitler, not
I actually reclaimed the evil title from Maxine here recently. I'm pretty certain of that. But, you know, I can understand people being ticked off at me, but I don't understand a lot of the animosity that's thrown at these at the trans women. I don't at all.
You know, I got to say, if I was at the Michigan concert thing, you know, I mean, first, it's a rock concert. I mean, it's kind of a who friggin' cares. I mean, I don't care who was at a concert with me. You know, second, I would assume that people are in the shower to take a shower. But, you know, I certainly would rather be in the shower with someone trans who is there taking a shower than in a shower with a bunch of haters that are looking to beat somebody up. You know, I'd be more apt to get into a fight with the haters.
Exactly. I mean, I think that I said that. I would much rather be in the shower with a trans woman than some of these other people. But actually, you know what? You should get Lisa on to do a show about trans issues. She is the Mac of trans issues. She knows all. She's a very, very knowledgeable person.
We will have to get her.
I will send her an email. I will send her an email and ask her if she would be up for that, and I'm sure that she would do it.
So have you found the post you're looking for?
Oh, yeah, I found it. I mean, you already read the comment, but that was the one you were talking about, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
One from Bronx XX, yes. That was the one. But, no, that whole thread has just been real interesting in a kind of car crash sort of way. Yeah,
it just
seems
insane. It's like a mirror.
It is. Well, and it's I don't know. The MitchFest thing is a big bone of contention for a lot of people. And I don't know. I've never been to a MitchFest. I'm really in no rush to go to one, so I can't really say much about it. I just think that, you know, that much hatred towards someone because they happen to have been born with different parts than you is a little strange. Okay, it's not a little strange. It's a lot strange, and it makes me pretty sick, actually.
And it's just, I can't get by the who cares issue. I mean, do I care? Why would I care? You know,
right.
Exactly.
It's one of those things. You know, they're there to enjoy the event just like everybody else, and, you know, I'm sure have no ill intent, so why not just let them go and enjoy the event if they want to go?
Well, I mean, it's you know, I mean, I think about this, you know, I've seen, you know, my favorite rock group, Rusted Root, you know, like 7 times, but not one time did I ever think, like, only me and my friends should be allowed to go there, and it's a concert.
Exactly. I think about the Chicago thing. I mean, one of the coolest people that I met there was a minister, you know, a church lady, a minister. And I thought, you know, here's somebody that is probably feeling a bit like a fish out of water, but you know what? I didn't care that she was there. I didn't think she had any ill intent, you know? So I don't understand.
You know, I mean, there are certainly, you know, places that that should be secure. I mean, you know, you, I mean, you don't want a high school girl's locker room, you know, open to men. But I mean, those are like
I'm kind of reminded, common sense things.
I mean,
if you're at a big outdoor concert for a week, I'm all for people taking showers personally. I really
am.
Yeah,
me too. And giving.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I go camping a lot, and I just assume that people take showers, frankly. And I don't care what equipment they have. I'd rather have them have whatever equipment they have and be clean than have been out, you know, at an outdoor concert for a week without taking a shower.
Just what am I missing? I mean, it's a concert.
Yep. It's, I don't know, it's just strange. I don't get it.
You know, I mean, I went to Lilith Fair all 3 years that was transpiring, and I didn't care who went to that, and you know, the only person who seemed to have a problem was the guy who had his girlfriend on a leash and got beaten up, but...
Yeah, it's just weird. And, if it's that big of a deal, then, you know, set up more showers. That makes sense to me. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. I did. But my understanding is that they don't even want somebody trans at these events. Do I understand that correct? Like, you're supposed to be barred from these events if you're trans.
Yeah, I'm not real clear on understanding either, but I do think that is I don't know if it has to do how far along you are in your transition or not. I get the impression that if you have male genitalia, they don't want you there.
How would you know?
I mean, I guess you'd notice in the shower, but that's what I'm gonna do. Are they gonna do a skirt check when everybody walks in? I don't know how they can. I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. And I don't even think it's all the people there. I think most of the people there probably don't care. I think there's a group of people that are very upset about it.
You know, I've got their website up. I'm trying to see if there's anything on the actual festival website. If you're under 16, you have to be accompanied by an adult, which seems logical. You're allowed to bring your dog or cat, but you have to board them. That pretty much, from what I see, seems to be the rule.
Yep. So, yes, it's, I guess then if there's no official rules, it's some people trying to make up rules that suit them. There's a shock.
Well, I mean, how could you have that kind of rule? I mean,
I don't know
how you'd speak to that.
I don't either. And it's there you go. We have to have, you know, Lisa on to do a Mitch Fest 101 show. But, no, I don't get it. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people avoid the trans topics, like the plague. It seems to be, I don't know, it's a very strange issue for a lot of people to even discuss, which I think, you know, doesn't help anything.
I guess I'm just missing something. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, the claim is that, you know, because these people were trans women were at one point in time men, they, you know, have bathed in the glory of male privilege for X many years, and that just doesn't go away. And I don't know, I'm thinking, you know, average cis woman probably does not face the same strife in life as somebody who's transitioning or has transitioned. So I don't, you know, it's that the whole thing again, you know, my pain is more valid than yours. My experiences and slings and arrows are more valid than yours are, and I'm figuring that, you know, here you have a group of people that are willing to give up, you know, the proverbial lap of male luxury privilege because they are women and they wish to be as women, and so they are willing to give that all up. That should count for something.
You know, I found this on Wikipedia. The Michigan Festival has, according to, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing this from this web page, it's always been an event for women with a Y, women born women. It discusses that the policy of the Michigan Festival officially requests that attendees be women, born women only. That is, those that were born and raised as girls and currently identify as women. Supporters of this policy believe that the particularity of the women born women experience, separate and apart from a woman's experience, comes from being born and raised in a female body, and see that festival as a celebration of that experience under the oppression of patriarchy. Many attendees and workers remark on feelings of liberation they experience while in the women-born, women-only environment of the festival, from a feeling of safety, of being able to walk in the dark without fear, to a deep, sometimes virgin, acceptance of their bodies. Supporters of this policy feel that the experiences of being women-born women in a place that honors the bodies, brains, and brawn of women-born women, regardless of how they fit into mainstream culture, and it rescripts the limiting experiences available for women and girls, as is vital to unlearning a lifetime of internalized misogyny for attendees and festival volunteers. The festival has stated it does not and will not perform panty checks. Rather, it states women must self-monitor and attend only if they can honestly state that they were born as a girl, lived as a girl, and presently identify as a woman.
Wow. Okay, that's a bit much. Yep, I'm certainly never going to be dressed. How's that?
That was almost hard to read with a straight face.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's your dose of discrimination for the day.
What if the KKK decides they want a white Protestant music festival?
Well, I'm sure they might be able to get one, but, you know, everybody in the world would say how horrible it was.
You know, I remember when I lived in Minneapolis, the KKK protested, and there were 12 on the statehouse steps, and there were 12 protesters and 5,000
counter-protesters. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. All right, we are going to go to the next topic. I'm going to let Renegade Evolution introduce that topic. We're going to take a very quick break. I am Jill Brenneman. This is Brenneman Airplane on XXBN.
Pledging Action is a small, grassroots project under the umbrella of Schwab East, a U.S.-based public nonprofit organization. The focus of Pledging Action is on helping sex workers of any gender or orientation. Pledging Action collects condom donations in the U.S. and mails them to an international organization for distribution. The organizations we service focus on sex workers' needs. Although we are currently sending condoms to two organizations in Santiago, Chile, we are always open to serving more sex worker organizations in areas of need. Pledging Action was created for the benefit of sex workers, not the general public. You can find out more at pledgingaction.wordpress.com.
Okay, I guess the music bed ended. I had a Cowboy Junkies music bed that talked about talk radio, but it didn't.
It decided it didn't want to play today?
Radio.
Yep.
There it is. All right. Let's try one more time. Radio Jumbo. You're on a voyage on the Brenneman Airplane. You can join us 646-200-3136. Let me go over a couple of the rules of Brenneman Airplane. If you'd like to join, please turn off all speakers and portable noise-emitting audio devices as they may interfere with the show's navigation. Weak cell phones are prohibited for the duration of the flight. Tampering with, disabling, or destroying someone else's right to free speech on Brenham Airplane is strictly prohibited. If you are a hater, please locate the nearest exit. Keep in mind that exit may be behind you. Choose it and get the fuck off my show.
That was wonderful. I like that.
If you are unwilling or unable to perform the duties of being a respected guest, please see a uniformed crew member who will be happy to reseat you on another blog or advise you how to get off the fucking aircraft.
Oh, that was good. I like the rules for your airline.
If you would like to be a passenger, it's not too late. 646-200-3136. You can also go to xxbn.net. And you can click the click to talk button, and assuming you don't crash the whole board, you might have a chance of getting your viewpoint out on the air with us, but it's probably safer for the safety of the aircraft if you just call in. You can also check out our new blog. It is xxbnradio.com. Lots of information about XXBN shows, lots of information about past, present, and future guests. My guest is Renegade Evolution, and you can find her at renegadeevolution.blogspot.com. Is that correct?
Correct. That would be it.
All right. Ren, you had a third topic.
I do. It's our good buddy Gail Dines again. And I don't know. I've been causing trouble. There's the infamous slideshow, which apparently enough noise was raised by myself and my gang of horrible thugs that they pulled it from the website.
He censored somebody. Did you make him flush it down the lavatory?
No, that's where it should go. And there a rumor is that they're redoing whatever to put it back up. On the site, but yeah, the rumor is that once the word lawyers came into it, they rethought their tactics a little bit.
Made them take down their illegal porn?
I did. I made them take down their illegal non-2257 compliant porn. Now they may put it back up. I don't know, but it was a small victory that I savored briefly. So yes. But yeah, I finally did actually see the slideshow, and I was real pleased to see Professor Dines stand there on stage, and she put up a photo of two fitness models who are completely clothed and refer to their bodies as hideous, because, that's the feminist thing to do right there. And then proceed. Yeah, isn't it, though? And I wish that there had been, a blonde female athlete in the audience that, would have thought, hey, I look like that woman, and she just called me hideous. Because you've seen what I look like. I'm small, but I'm on the buff side, and you know what? Some women actually look like that. So to sit there, as a professor and, some big top-leading feminist and refer to another woman's looks as hideous blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind.
That would make Jessica Land hideous.
Yeah, Jessica and I could be, the ugly sisters and go see, because she's a tiny little blonde thing, just nicest person in the world. But yeah, and I think, she was probably trying to make the point that, this model had been airbrushed and she had a body that unless you spend a lot of time in the gym, you're not going to have, and was blonde, and I'm guessing her chest probably wasn't hers. But yeah, to sit around and call another woman hideous for any reason, I don't understand it on the level that so many feminists who, do not adhere to beauty standards, they get called names all the time, and it probably doesn't make them feel great, but they're going to turn around and do it to other women. I don't see the feminism there.
Do these women get crowns on their teeth? Because I went to the dentist today, and he talked me into getting a crown, and it occurred to me for the first time, that I've now had a body modification.
Right, and I wrote about that one time, and if you get braces or any sort of cosmetic dentistry, I mean, there are reasons to do dentistry for medical reasons. You know, crowns are a good example, getting cavities filled. That, you know, those are medical reasons. But if you know you get your teeth, if you get braces or you wear headgear or anything like that, you're doing it for cosmetic reasons. Now, I'm sure, you know, it's not the same extensive kind of surgery that, you know, a tummy tuck is, but it is done for cosmetic reasons. And do they dye their hair? You know, any of those questions, I've wondered that aloud before. But that was like the warm-up for the thing that sent me over the edge. And what sent me over the edge is there's a section in there where she talks. She had listened to some interviews with some women who had been in porn who said that, you know, after the first time they had done porn, that it changed their lives, which is true. Your life changes the first time you do a porn scene. And it's, you know, gee, my kids might see this. If I ever have another job, my boss might find out, those kind of things. Yes, your life changes, absolutely. But she then proceeded to say that consent forms, contracts, all that stuff be damned, every single woman who has ever done porn has been raped. And I went through the roof, because I personally don't think it is anyone's business to decide when another person that they don't even know has or has not been raped. And then to use whoever's experience and paint it as a rape, just, oh, it put me, that's the angriest I have been in a really long time.
Well, I mean, whose place is it of hers to tell you that you've been raped?
Exactly. And plus, I mean, by doing that, she's completely erased the ability to consent on the part of these women. Completely erased it. It's like, you know, if they don't know when they're being raped, well, they can't consent to anything now, can they? And it just, I mean, I was infuriated. I was absolutely infuriated. And I did actually get into a conversation about those two issues with a radical-leaning feminist, and she completely dismissed me, completely, as if, you know, the gospel according to Dines was the way it is. I mean, as the conversation went on, you know, it's like, let's see how much we can move the goalposts. Let's see how much we can, you know, just throw the radical feminist rhetoric around and completely ignore the issue that this woman feels just fine, apparently, insulting other women for their appearances and then saying when they have been raped and when they have not, and that their consent means nothing. And I just, I'm still angry about it, frankly. You know me, I carry a grudge for years.
Really?
Yeah, I do. With this kind of stuff, I do. And it's one of those things. I've been threatening to go to one of these events for years, and, you know, I just might, because if she keeps that little part in her speech, I'm going to stand up and be like, okay, so thank you for telling me when I've been raped and when I haven't.
And that you're hideous. If you
and that I'm hideous.
646-231-36. Once again, 646-231-36. 6 minutes left in the flight of Brenneman Airplane as we are kind of beginning our final descent into Raleigh-Durham. You know, that left me speechless.
Well, it did. I mean, I was writing my response to after watching the show, and I was kind of, you know, taking notes and writing as I went along so I wouldn't have to watch it 8,000 times. And I literally, you know, I had to stop it. I had to get up. I had to, you know, walk around. I went for a run because if I had, you know, as much as people talk about, you know, my violent and graphic and shocking language as it is, if I had written initially what I wanted to write, I mean, I stunned people anyway, but people would have been scraping their jaws up off the floor. I was that angry.
No, well, what else did you come away with? From the anti-porn slideshow. I mean, are you converted?
No, I'm not. And it's also completely apparent to me that Gail is not a professor of history. And I happen to have that piece of paper on the wall for that subject. And the way she kind of molds history to suit her agenda. And, I mean, she's a very good speaker. She is. She's entertaining to watch. But there is that. She doesn't know her history very, very well. And she has this, you know, very proper British accent, so she's very easy to listen to. But, yeah, she doesn't know her history. She, you know, calls people hideous. She tells people when they can or cannot be raped. She basically, you know, figures that men, young men, young boys and teenagers and stuff, are, you know, just going to be so influenced by porn to do horrible things that they're that easily brainwashed by pictures. You know, pictures will completely corrupt them to the very, very core. They have no will. They have no good in them or whatever, because they're going to be corrupted by, you know, porn. And then there was
is she related to that that your guest on the show you hosted? I can't think of his name, but
Mr. Ganji,
yes.
I don't know, maybe.
I think that was his argument was something to that effect, that your partner's making his son into a rapist or something.
Something like that, yes. And she sort of argues the same thing. She says, you know, if the porn culture doesn't stop, the world will be nothing but victims and rapists, is kind of the gist. And I'm thinking, you know, yay for your faith in humanity there. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in humanity a lot of the time, but wow, I'm light years ahead of you. And
I guess I can understand Mr. Ganji, because, you know, being, I forget where he's from, India, but, you know, being from another culture, maybe this is all overwhelming for him. But, you know, I mean, Gail is clearly adept in Western culture. And
yeah, well, she grew up in Western culture. And it's just the whole thing. And then, you know, she finds the most absolutely shocking stuff, you know, images or whatever. I mean, it's like she starts talking about, you know, hardcore pornography, and the first thing up there is Max Hardcore. Not Vivid, not whatever. It's, you know, the absolute worst she can find. It was just, I mean, I definitely, incredibly slanted. It would be interesting to find a person who was really, truly neutral on the issue to watch it and see what they said about it. I mean, like, knowledgeable about the issue, but, you know, no set feelings one way or the other. And because, you know, I definitely have my opinion, and Gail definitely has her opinion, and they're nowhere close to each other. So someone in the middle might be interesting. And they were talking about, you know, how, you know, they don't check IDs of people that go into these shows. So, you know, hey, look, minors could be in there. And then somebody made a comment that, you know, no one is forced to go to these things. But the truth is, they're on college campuses, and a lot of people who are taking women's studies classes, it's required for their class. I mean, so
you know, I can testify to that one myself. I was in North Dakota when one of those shows was presented, and it was a course requirement for a class. I cannot remember which one, but it was a course requirement for them to attend the anti-porn slideshow in one of the universities in North Dakota. Which, granted, they had a minister come in and take out some slides.
But yeah, so it's just, I mean, the whole idea that, I don't know, this really is my, I mean, I have my causes and my issues or whatever, but this to me just is I'm not going to let it go. And I'm sure people, you know, all over the place would wish I would just shut up about it once in a while, but that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until, you know, they are 2257 compliant and they allow for an opposing viewpoint to be presented.
You kind of got to my next question, which was going to be, if you could have changes made that you'd like to see made in that porn slideshow, the anti-porn slideshow, what changes would you ask for?
Well, those would be two of them. I mean, those would be the big ones, that if they, you know, they adhere to 2257 compliance, like everyone who makes porn does, and that they allowed opposing viewpoints. And, you know, I'm not holding my breath for either of those things. And it's just, to me, it seems like if they have, you know, they quote all of these people, that, you know, I'm absolutely positive that, you know, Belladonna and Jenna Jameson did not consent to have their words and images used in this show. But, you know, they're always talking about all of these people who were in, you know, whatever branch of the sex industry that now hate it. You know, I think having that person standing on stage telling their story would be more impacting than a slideshow would be. If there's that many of them out there, they should be able to get some of them to come talk.
Well, you know, if they did it that way,
if it was one of those things where they had people who had formerly or were in the sex industry who wanted to come and speak about, you know, their experiences, even if those were, you know, absolutely horrific experiences, you know, at that point, game on. I have no problem with that whatsoever, because, you know, that's fine. That's people discussing their experiences who have consented to be there and talk about those things. But the fact that, you know, you're fighting exploitation and lack of consent with exploitation and lack of consent makes no sense to me whatsoever.
You know, I brought this up to a friend and one time a colleague, you know, and she's kind of, I would say she's more anti-porn than the average person. And she kind of surprised me because we actually got into an argument. I kind of thought that she was at least going to accept the pretext that you can't steal images, and that someone may not want their images portrayed in that slideshow, or they may be out of porn, and they may, for whatever reason, want to have closed that chapter and want control over the pictures. And, you know, my former colleague, you know, friend, said, well, you know, sometimes you have to make exceptions for education. And I was just like, whoa, you know, stop. No, you don't. You can't walk into, you know, a Target and say, we're going to shoplift and rob the Target for education.
Well, and even, but, you know, at least she was honest about it. If these people loudly proclaimed, you know, to make an omelet, we need to splatter a few eggs, I would have so much more respect for them than this whole, you know, weeping, oh, we feel for these women, we have sympathy, but we're going to do it anyway. You know, if they were saying, you know,
she was honest about it.
You know, it's just, if that attitude I actually have more respect for.
Well, you know, you read their websites, and it's almost an astonishing amount of level of oppression. I mean, and yet at the same time, it's this passive-aggressive thing, both saying that we are supremely oppressed by the patriarchal misogyny, and we're a lone voice in the wilderness, even though they have the support of the Bush administration and copious amounts of funding under Trafficking Victims Protection Act, and they're not a lone voice in the wilderness. I mean, I would almost have to guess probably a bigger majority of society is opposed to porn than would openly admit that they like porn.
Right.
And then they say, you know, poor us, you know, you go back to the I Blame Pornyarchy website of Maggie Hayes, and it's got like, you know, 46 ways that they're oppressed, but then they want to oppress anybody who doesn't see their way.
Exactly. And I mean, that's why I appreciate the honest approach of, you know, I hate this stuff, and by any means necessary, I will combat it. I appreciate that honesty more than I appreciate all of this, oh, we're doing it for your own good, you poor little weepy person. It really ticks me off. And that's putting it mildly. And considering my infamous temper, you know.
Now you're not going to take a vowel or something. You know, I mean, going back to that blog post that was on there about someone was, I forget how they worded it, they were attacked in some way on your website. Officially attacked, was that it?
Yes. I've just, you know, I've apparently, you know, laid into everybody in the world. But, I've, you know, I've done it with words. And it was funny. I do. My latest one that has me in trouble is because I completely object to, you know, the use of these women's images without their consent or without knowing their feelings on it, that I think the next scene that I shoot, I'm going to dedicate to Maggie to see how she likes to have her name pulled into something that she hates and without any consideration from another woman, you know, to how she feels about that. And a lot of people are like, oh, that is really low. But you know what? I'm not fed up with it. These people have no idea how that feels to have, you know, Gail Dines stand up there and, you know, talk about, you know, oh, gee, you were raped, you just don't know it, or you won't admit it or whatever, and decide when you have or you haven't been, or to, you know, have images of you used in a way that you did not at all consent to for a purpose you don't agree with. And, you know, everyone's like, that's so horrible. And I'm like, well, what do you think this slideshow is? And, you know, she's not even there. Her picture won't be in it. I'm, you know, might mention her name and dedicate a horrific gonzo scene to her. You know, sometimes the extreme makes an impression, I guess is what I'm saying. And people will talk about the way that I write or the language that I use. And I mean, you've met me in person. I talk like that in person. I can't make people understand how unfair and how discounting and dismissive and silencing this kind of stuff is. It makes me angry. So I do use, you know, vivid language when I talk about it. And I got a really cool thing today in a comment, which was basically, I had no idea this, but a sex workers outreach group down in Australia, they all have a big mailing list. And every once in a while, they're like, oh, God, you need to go read what, you know, Ren wrote. It's awesome. And, you know, go Ren. And it's like, you know, these are women halfway around the world who are sex workers who are saying, you know, I'm so glad someone is saying this. And I've had, you know, a Swedish sex worker do that. And to me, it makes all of the, oh, I'm a horrible, creepy sadist stuff worth it.
Well, you know, and I mean, to me, the whole, everyone is a rape victim. That's a double-sided coin, and both sides lose in that equation because, you know, the person that is raped in their very first porn scene or in any porn scene, being compared to someone who is not and having their experiences equated together, I mean...
It's horrible for both. I mean, I when I wrote on it, I think I said something about that, it cheapens the horrific experience of people who have actually been raped, and it denies the autonomy agency of those who haven't. And it's, you know, it's just a big fat FU to everyone involved.
Well, you know, one of the lines that I've seen used many times is prostituted women, which of course, a lot of the anti-pornography, anti-prostitution, rad femme types, they make everything prostitution, from a Hooters girl to you know, Pretty Woman. But you know, the comment was prostituted women are POWs in the patriarchal, misogynist war against women. And I just kind of blew up on that one. It was like, whoa, please, you know, do not equate me with a POW. I've never been a POW.
Exactly. Neither of us have been, you know, stuck in tiger cages in Vietnam there are women that are in conditions like that, so I can't say none of us. But, you know, a great many of us haven't ever been in that situation. And to do so, you know, cheapens the pain of the people who are. And once again, denies, you know, the autonomy of everybody else.
Well, and I think, you know, it would be disingenuous for me to say that I understand what Senator McCain went through. You know,
exactly.
I mean, I may not agree with all of his politics.
Right.
However, I have a great deal of respect for the fact that he survived 5.5 years, you know, in captivity and. Regardless of what experiences I have, far be it from me to say what he or anyone else has gone through in that scenario. I mean, I have not been in the military.
Well, you know, I completely agree. I mean, it's like I have, you know, relatives from my side of the family that were in less than stellar places during World War II or whatever. And no, you know, guess what? My experience is not at all the same, at all. And it's an insult to them. It's just a big insult all around.
Any final thoughts on the Gail Dines anti-porn slideshow?
Just that I hate it. How's that? That about sums it up. I hate it.
You know, I'm still stuck on the officially attacked thing on your blog. I mean, to me, that's hyperbole at such an astonishing level. That, I mean, how is one attacked? How is one attacked on a blog that they choose to post on? I mean, what are you going to do, beaten to death with a bowel?
Well, that's true. I mean, I've said from day one that, you know, no one is forced to read anything that I write. And, you know, people have the right to not allow me to comment on their blogs. I mean, there's a huge thing going on. I'm guest blogging over at Feminist this week, talking mostly about, you know, sex worker outreach and advocacy and all that good stuff that's important. And there's people that are just, not a lot. I mean, most of the people have been really supportive, but a lot of people have been like, well, you don't call yourself a feminist. You shouldn't be allowed to blog here. And it's like, okay, because I don't use the word feminist in my descriptor and I'm abrasive, I shouldn't be allowed to post here, even though the owners of the blog have asked me to do so.
Why do you care?
I don't know why they don't. Because I don't. It mostly it's because I don't use the word feminist in my descriptor, and I, and there's reasons for that. I mean, I called myself a feminist for some time, and then it became, you know, the word became so tainted, and it became such a humongous amount of strife over me even using the word that to me the word wasn't that important. I mean, to me, you know, what I do is more important to me than what monikers people want to put next to my name. And, you know, it's been a thing. And, I mean, people who are, it's like, okay, we're sort of interested in what sex work is about or what sex work outreach is, but because you're writing it, we're not going to read it because you're writing it. It's like, how much of a bonehead are you? You don't have to agree with me to learn something. You can think I am the biggest scumbag on the face of the earth. You know, join the crowd. But if you're actually interested in learning something, you should be able to put aside the fact that I don't call myself a feminist and I might be a violent pornographer or whatever, and read what I have to say, whether you agree with it or not, because then at least you're getting some information on what's going on or what sex worker outreach is about, which whether you agree with it or not, it's at least some valuable knowledge there. They would. I think I wouldn't have been invited to blog if they didn't. I mean, and this is a big one. This is a big feminist blog, and obviously they thought I had something important to say. And I have like 80,000 comments, so I guess a lot of people think I have something important to say. But as always, there's the people that are like, well, you shouldn't be there because you're Renegade Evolution and you're an asshole and you don't call yourself a feminist. It's
but
just silly.
Isn't it feminist for a woman to be able to express her viewpoint?
That's pretty much. Like I said, the majority of people have been supportive, which is nice because I blogged there last year and it was, oh my goodness, it was a full thermonuclear meltdown. It was insane. And this time, this go around, really for the most part there's been the few slings and arrows, but most people are more interested in what I have to say, whether I call myself a feminist or not, which is nice. But I don't get the whole, well, you don't use a word, so you shouldn't be allowed to talk here. I do not understand that.
So maybe you just need a feminist thesaurus, and you can throw occasional feminist words in, and that will make you appropriate?
Well, it's funny.
Because just speaking your mind?
On my intro post, I basically said, you know, I'm a sex worker, I'm a sex worker's right advocate, and I occasionally have feminist moments, you know? That's pretty much describes it. And I found it real interesting that a lot of the people who have really been behind me are other women who don't use the word or have considered giving up the word because they too feel marginalized, whether they be sex workers or women of color, or, trans women or whatever. Like, we totally get why she doesn't call herself a feminist. It's because feminism has, you know, rained on our shoes more times than we can count.
I mean, that's why I gave the title back myself. You know, it's like, I don't want it. Take it back. You know, I find a lot of the so-called heavy-duty feminists, you know, like Farley and Dines and all of them, it's like dealing with that guy on MASH, Frank Burns. You know, it just...
Oh, excellent. Any MASH reference is going to work good for me. I love that show. But, and the thing that is really, and it's not just getting to me, it's getting to some of the other radical feminists, too, is that it's these people, I mean, are they like, okay, Maggie there, is the image that people have. And you know what? Maggie doesn't talk about anything having to do with feminism except porn. That's it. I mean, where's the rest of her feminism, she queried, you know? And, but people take them as the face of it, and there's a lot of actually very cool, reasonably radical feminists that absolutely hate that. But as soon as they step out of line and, you know, you deign to speak to someone like me or someone like you or someone like Lisa or whomever, you know, they just get piled on for breaking ranks, and it's I don't know, it's icky. It really is. It's creepy to me. And being creepy, I know it when I see it.
I think you get in trouble even if you speak to people like us to argue with us.
Yeah, even then, it's kind of like they have this, you know, do not engage thing, or if they do engage, it's, you know, this kind of drive-by kick to the ribs. I mean, in the last year, I've had, you know, two radical-leaning feminists basically say more or less in so many words that women like me deserve to get raped. And I'm like, whoa. And they're not even called out by their own people about that.
I mean, what is 40 years of the women's movement been about? If they're advocating that it's okay for some women to get raped, what?
Well, yeah, and that's why it makes me crazy and so many of the other people crazy when there's so much, you know, stuff that needs to be, you know, talked about, right? I mean, like, you know, what's going on in Italy right now with the Roma and things like that, things that need to be talked about, but, you know, some people would rather argue about, you know, lipstick and eyeliner and burlesque shows. It makes no sense. And I understand people vent and they have to talk about silly light stuff. You can't be all gloom and doom all the time. You can't. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. To me, it's like a cult. A lot of them really seem like a cult, and it's more seems to be online than out in the real world. But I know a couple folks who have left the collective, as it were, and they've just been ripped apart. Completely ripped apart, which of course makes it harder for people who, if they, you know, it's kind of, you feel like if you leave and you turn around and all these people that you thought were your friends are going to tear you apart, it makes it a heck of a lot harder to leave.
Yeah, no, I can speak to that myself. I saw that movie myself when I made my own abrupt and not so friendly break with that movement. And, you know, I mean, they went out of their way to make sure that I was isolated. And that was
right.
Even before it escalated to death threats. You know, that was just, the death threats only came after they tried to destroy, you know, my whole social structure.
Yep.
I was quite impressed at the lengths they went to for that.
Yep. Well, I don't see, you know, people, even people that I consider to be really good friends, you know, we can disagree with each other. We can even heatedly disagree with each other. But it's not like, okay, you're excommunicated because we don't see eye to eye on whatever. And that kind of mentality to me is extremely scary. Just in general it is, that if you're not, you know, all for, you're all against. And I guess I see, that's why you see these, amid, you know, this group, you see these meltdowns from time to time, because people just, I don't think people function well that way when it's everything has to be, you know, the same. That it all has to be some big echo chamber of everyone agreeing with every, you know, offhanded, strange, hurtful thing that people say.
Well, it works in North Korea, but there's also a lot of famine and kind of cultural deprivation.
Right. Well, I don't think that by engaging solely with people who agree with you, you learn anything. I mean, I don't think you do. I've been blogging now for a little over 3 years, and I've learned so much stuff. And like, I had no idea about any sort of trans issues before. I didn't know much about the, you know, the lesbian, gay, queer community, because, you know, I'm not any of those things. And I've learned, you know, so much. I mean, it's like, literally, okay, as much as I didn't know much about the, you know, issues facing, you know, men in who are involved as workers in the sex industry, and I've learned a whole lot. So it's been incredibly educational. But if I just sat around only talking to people who agree with me on everything, I wouldn't have learned any of that. I wouldn't have learned anything. But I don't know if I could find a single other solitary soul on the internet that agreed with me about everything. But theoretically, if I had, you know, I wouldn't have learned, you know, half the stuff that I've learned. So I think that if you're looking to, you know, connect with people and learn from other people and form, you know, alliances that are not based on absolute lockstep, you know, agreement, being that kind of an environment is not the best way to go about doing it.
Any final thoughts as we bring the Brenneman airplane down for final approach?
Oh, well, I can't think of much of anything except that we still need to do a Chicago show at some point.
We need to do a Chicago show. We'll have to
get a reunion, see if we can get, like, Jessica to come on and some of the other people, too. That would be keen.
Oh, that's a good idea. We'll have to talk about that offline. Well, I do remind all of our guests to please remain seated for the duration of this show with your seatbelt fully fastened and secured low and tight around your waist until the show has come to a complete stop and the captain has hit the end of show ID. Please be careful when reclaiming any of your baggage. Baggage that you may have stowed that you wish to share with other guests may have shifted in flight and shift happens. XXBN is Progressive Subversive Sex Positive Indie Talk Show Radio, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. I want to thank my guest tonight, Renegade Evolution, for taking not only a flight with us, but unknowingly I put you on a longer flight than you expected. Next week, in a special Wednesday edition of Venom and Airplane, guest Gary Michael Capetta. If you do not know who he is, think back 20 years to pro wrestling of the World Wide Wrestling Federation era. Gary Capetta was the ring announcer. I believe he was a colleague of Joe McHugh's way back in the day when wrestling was still seemed real. Tomorrow night, Cult of Gracie Radio. Make sure you check out Cult of Gracie Radio, the update, the bio for tomorrow's show. Cult of Gracie Radio. Tomorrow evening, Gracie talks with erotica, author, smut collector, and charming cat and intriguing rogue, Sean Richards. I hope I pronounced that right. I don't know who he is, but it promises to be a very, very good show, as all of Cult of Gracie Radio shows are. On behalf of Renegade Evolution, I'm Joe Brenneman. This is XXBN, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. I want to thank our musical supporters tonight, Rusted Root and the Cowboy Junkies. This is Rusted Root, Rap as the Sun.
Thank you all very much.